Thank you, Ruby. He wants one for the voices. Oh, good morning. Welcome to Alexandra and Friends. Thank you so very much for showing up the first and last Saturday of every month. And we have a very good audience here today because we have an amazing guest.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for being here. Before we start our show, we always start with a prayer. And we are going to ask Mr. Ricky Hill, the famous Ricky Hill from the movie The Hill, to please open our show with one of his beautiful prayers.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for your love. Mm-hmm. Especially, Lord, we thank you for this forgiveness that you give us each and every day. We thank you for all the things that you have done for us and that you're going to do for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the beautiful word, salvation. If it wasn't salvation, we have no prayer. Through prayer gives us salvation. We thank you so much for all the goodness. We thank you, Lord, for this show. We thank you for overlooking our faults and seeing our needs. We ask you to bless each and every one of us and each and every one of the people that are listening today. We ask that in the beautiful name, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen. How beautiful. Thank you so very much. That's a very inspiring prayer. And wow, it is God that brings everything together.
Yes, it is.
Let me tell you a little bit about the Purple Cow Branding Studio. This is who sponsors our show, the first and the last Saturday of every month. It is an amazing place. We're in the meeting place. It's our studio. And I wish you could just stop by here and look at this amazing place where you can have meetings and concerts and all kinds of banquets. This is the Branding Cow Studio, and it is in Farmers Ranch. And I'm going to go ahead and throw out, if you want to know where it's located, our website has the address and the location. And I want to thank Rob Bliss for this amazing opportunity has given us this show because, wow, this is a beautiful studio. We are going to take just a second, and we are going to go ahead and do our Pledge of Allegiance also before we continue our show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Welcome back to Alexandra and Friends. Please to make sure that you go to our website, alexandraandfriends.com, or to our Facebook, Alexandra and Friends and Company. We really love to hear you, your comments, because you know what? We're a very small podcast, but look at where you are today, and look at the wonderful guests that we have every month or every other Saturday. We have an amazing guest that comes from anywhere, any part of the world, and they all have a story. And I am so excited that I still have my friend Marshall.
Shelly Dobo. So good to see you, Miss Alexandra.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back.
Well, thank you.
Queen Bee herself.
I'm going through a journey, and this journey is taking I have to make some stops and get off the train a little bit, but I'm making the journey well.
That's right.
And of course, on my left over here is my dear friend, Elena Glassman, who is another wonderful, wonderful part of this program. We wouldn't be without her.
Good morning.
That's
Shabbat shalom, y'all. Good morning.
And also, I want to say thank you to our wonderful producer, Michael Clark. Without him, we would not be Alexandra and Friends. So thank you, Michael.
That's right.
Because you're amazing. Thank you. Well,
yes,
we have an exciting day. So who's going to have the honor of introducing our guest?
Marshall.
You know,
Marshall has done a book on him already.
I get to introduce Mr. Ricky Hill.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let me say this. Mr. Ricky Glenn with the G-L-E-N-N Hill. Okay, inspirational speaker. Okay, The Hill. Oh, I have so much to ask him, but let me introduce him first. This movie is a true story about our friend here, Mr. Ricky Glenn Hill. And it's a Christian sport drama, but it is a story about his life and the amazing faith that he had overcome sharing with us the stories of what he went through on trials and tribulations, having 39 surgeries, okay? Not only that, how he was inspired by his dad, his background, because his father was a pastor, a Baptist. He had a Baptist church, and he grown into a very strong family will of God as he continued to carry that along the way of this very day. But we're going to let him tell us so much about the amazing movie called The Heal. We had the premiere last night here at Purple Cow Branding last night to review the premiere of the movie that came out in August of 2023. And it's so amazing. We had tears just falling down our faces, just being inspired to what he has been through, the obstacles and the triumph of his life, of the surviving this disease that he had. But we're going to have him to tell us so much more, because he has a lot to share, and how he inspired kids of today of being the president of the Little Lead. So he does a lot of great things, and he's one of the greatest baseball player in the world. So nevertheless, let's say this. Let's welcome Mr. Ricky Glenn Hill. Hello, my friend.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Wow.
What an introduction.
Yes.
Yes. We're glad to have you. We're so glad to have you.
Yes. You're bringing out the fear of God in me right now, baby.
That's all right. We wanted you to share too, starting back when we were watching the movie, and I want to say this before we get started, because it's been on my heart since I went home and closed my eyes. The favor of God on you. And they say that favor ain't fair. But let me just say this. The favor that you have on your life is amazing. I noticed when you had an interview with one of the gentlemen when you were sitting on the plane telling someone about your life. So the producer's brother was on the plane as well when you were sharing it. So that's how you got connected to the director who did your movie.
Well, actually, that's not really necessarily the truth about it. That's
okay.
That's not it. So
okay.
Let's just fire what's real is real. We started the movie in the year 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a while back, right, guys? It is. It's going to come out in the year 2010. And we found out as we went along in the film, the executive producers, which was two or three of them, that the people that were doing our film is too much Hollywood, okay? And I am totally against the direction of Hollywood, because they're against the direction of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't fit in their portfolio, and it fits in mine. And so I fired them.
So you fired the gentleman that you were sharing us, you were sharing to the podcast.
First 10 years, in 2009.
Okay. So who's the gentleman who was speaking with you on the podcast that's the director who done the movie now, who did The Heal?
His name is Jeff Celentano.
Okay.
And what we did was my executive producers, we all looked at each other, and I said, well, what do we do now? Because I fired him. Because they didn't belong. It's a direction that God led me to get rid of them. They weren't going to do the faith-based film that we wanted. Hmm. So therefore, they're not going to be a part of our film. So I got rid of them. And then I had to go to Beverly Hills and look for a director that was on the page with us. It's on the page with Jesus Christ. And put these two together, and I had to go. I auditioned 41 directors.
Wow.
And out of that 41 directors, I came up with Jeff Celentano right there and then, and to direct this film, which is directing, people don't realize it, but to direct a film is the toughest thing ever. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know this myself, because I'm not in the movie business. You know, I played baseball. For a living. I didn't.
Right.
I've never been in the movie. And so saying that, We got Jeff Celentano right on the same page, and he made this beautiful, beautiful piece that he showed me what he was going to do with the movie. And immediately I said, this is a man. I prayed about it. It didn't take no time for the Lord to tell me, this is a man. That's why we hired him.
That's good.
So I'm going to interject here. So your life, you were raised in a Christian home with a very, very... with a very astute grandmother. I loved your grandmother. She's my type. That's the way my grandparents raised me. So in your heart, as I see your story, and this is the first time I've ever seen the film, God was with you, but God had already given you an order of what to do in your life.
Yes.
Could I say that?
Yes, you can.
Because from your story, and I think we're all in that same position every day. God has given us, but we don't listen sometimes.
That's
and
right.
We don't hear.
That's
and
right.
I was very amazed at how you knew when your father wrote you, made you write that letter, the letter that you were going to write, were you going to serve God or you were going to do baseball? And you said you were doing both. The same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the way that we live our lives. And, mm-hmm. and it's so exciting to see a story so strong
yes.
in the love of God.
Yes.
And I'm Jewish, but I believe exactly the way that, that God is the primary. Without Him, it's not possible. So I'm excited to have for you to be here. Where our podcast is probably one of the tiniest things issues that you've ever been to. But I'm going to tell you a story how he got to where he's sitting today. One of my dear friends has a limo service, and he was listening to the podcast Alexander and Friends while he was driving Mr. Hill to the airport. And Mr. Hill said, I want to be on that show. So that's why we're here, sitting here today, because the driver called me and gave me his phone number to call him. And I called him and he answered the phone. I said, wow, are we important or what? So I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being so down to earth. We're excited to have you here, but I think the most important is that you did what God told you to do, and you had a mission, and you played it, and you've done it so well, and you're one of the hottest thing there is. I'm trying to.
I'm in love now.
God be the glory. With the movie and talking to you, and we are people of faith.
Absolutely.
And God orchestrated every step. Like, we can't have our plans, but the word says he establishes our every step. And so we were talking earlier that God always gets his way. And I just love how even every step of the way, how your grandmother believed in you and supported you before your father saw that, the call on your life, really how the direction of it. And it's just your family bond was everything.
Yes.
I mean, it was the lifeline,
yes.
the bloodline of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can, you know, we're very fortunate to have wonderful families too. But is there anything more that you want to add to that piece of your life where we don't see in the movie that really made such significant change and transformation in your life?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that my father in the movie, that was his first church. He'd never been in the ministry before. He just got saved. He was just born again 3 weeks before.
Really?
And God called him into the ministry in 3 weeks.
He was so gifted.
Yeah, my mother wanted him to be born again, but she didn't ask for him to be a minister. Okay, now there's a big difference.
Full-time minister.
Because preacher's wife? Uh-uh. No. No. Being saved? Yes.
Yes.
But preacher's wife? No way.
And how old were you when he got saved and became a preacher?
I think I was, I'd gone through all the surgeries, but I didn't even know about them. Four, I think. I think I was 4 years old. Four or five.
Wow.
Right in that area. And then... I do remember that happening, him running outside away from the preacher, when the preacher had to shag him down and led him to the Lord. And
wow.
It's not, no one knows this about the movie. In fact, you're the first show that I've even told the story on.
Oh,
we like to, wonderful. We like to ask questions.
Yeah, you're asking me a question that I haven't answered this question to any show that I've been on, and I've been on tons of shows. But my father couldn't read or write.
Wow.
And that would make it very difficult to be a minister, if you think about it.
Interesting.
How are you going to do that reading when you can't read or write?
And how did he read the Bible?
How are you going to preach the gospel?
I always say the Bible would teach you how to read. I'm sorry,
Spirit.
That's why I feel.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit would guide you with the, you know, the terminology, the pronunciations, the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom is in His Word. You ask and it shall be given. You seek and you will find.
Matthew 7:7.
Amen.
I have a question, Ricky. When you started preaching? You started playing baseball, but at the same time you were a pastor?
No, I've never been a pastor.
So you're
an inspirational speaker.
It doesn't mean evangelist.
No. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that I'm not being a minister.
Right.
Because I'm ministering. Mm-hmm. Even while I'm traveling on a plane or a bus.
Amazing.
Yes, that's right.
I'm ministering. Everybody looked at me and wanted to find my faults.
Your faults, yes.
Because they knew that I didn't cuss, I didn't do the wrong things, and to be a professional baseball player,
that's what you have.
You know, you're a wanted man from females, and you are, and you have to run from them. And so saying that, I ministered. And so I had to stand up for the ministry that I ministered to the ball players. I would lead songs on the bus. Mm-hmm. I would always speak to the ball players. And I knew the scripture just like it showed in the movie.
The movie's amazing. It takes your heart out and makes you wonder, where have you been all this time? But Ricky, one other thing that I want, how long did you actually play baseball?
5.5 years. I collapsed after my fifth year, 5.5 years. It says 4 in the movie, but that's not true. It's 5.5 years. And I was just going up to be actually a superstar in baseball. My goal was to beat out Hank Aaron, his home run record. And I was a home run hitter.
Oh, yeah, we noticed that.
I hit a lot of home runs. I had a lot of home runs, a lot.
Yeah, we've seen that in the movie.
By the way, I would just round second base and look up to the heavens and say, Lord, why are you just showing off so much? You just showing off. I know what you. I'd say I didn't hit that ball. You did. You know good and well. So I'm arguing with the Lord as I'm rounding third base, telling him, you hit that ball. I didn't hit that ball.
Well, so I'm just curious, how was it like as they were shooting the movie and you're sitting there, and I'm sure you were there.
I was there
quite a bit, and watching your life played out by actors and the direction of the directors and the producers. You know, some people might just criticize and go, that's not how it, how was it for you?
It was hard. I had to walk away in several scenes.
Mm.
I had to turn my back and walk away because my father passed away 4 years after you see this movie. My dad passed away with pancreas cancer. My mother had a brain tumor the very same time. And they wanted the movie back then in the 70s.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't want to have anything to do with this movie business because of my mother and father were both became ill. My mother did make it. My dad didn't make it. And but watching them shoot the film was very, very tough because of the death of my father at such a young age, at 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get to complete what he planned on.
Mm.
And but I feel like right now it's my job to complete it.
He can see it from heaven. He's watching.
Absolutely. He saw the movie before I did.
That's right. Mm-hmm,
that's right.
Before it was made.
Yeah. Wow.
You're an inspiration on with your brother and how you stood up and took some. Your brother stood up for you all the time. For what I see in the movie. How was your relationship with within your brother? And you had a sister also, correct?
Yes, I did.
And how was you had such a good family? I mean, you were very strong, but at the same time, you were more. You were stronger because you believed in you actually believed in what you were going to have to do, and I believe your brother believed in you too.
Very much so.
But your father, I think he had a mission that you were going to become a pastor after him. Was that correct?
Correct.
So how do you feel now? Was that something in your mind? Did you ever think about becoming a pastor and serving in a church?
I was called to be a minister.
You were called to be a minister.
Yes, I was called. But I realized that I could do both, minister and by the way, if I become a star in baseball, I'm going to get a lot more attention than
That's
I
right.
would ever get from the television screen to wherever, from radio. I would get more attention there because... Okay. I was a good baseball player, so therefore, people would listen to me. Children would listen to me. Kids
Great
that
point.
Don't know Jesus Christ, people that they would listen to me, and where I could not get that out any other way.
You're an amazing
That's
man.
That's really true.
And to see you hurting the way you were, you were, disability was tremendous in a sense. Your legs were in terrible. I mean, you were. You were in pain all the time.
All the time.
All the time. How did you push yourself to that limit that, my goodness, you broke my heart yesterday. To see the pain, the hurt, and still get up. And I like when you said that man, I'm going to get up. I'm not going to walk
yes.
to the second base.
That's
I'm
right.
going to get up. What was sitting in your mind all the time? What made you, besides God, what made you get up? Was it the pride? Was it that you knew that you could do it? Or was it, where was it?
Well, see, when I stepped into that batter's box, especially in that big, huge night, I knew I wasn't alone.
Thank goodness.
You see, I knew I had a partner. And I stepped out of the batter's box that night. If you'll notice, I drew a cross every time I stepped
Every time
to the plate.
With your bat, yes.
I stood on the cross. But I stepped out of the batter's box that night, and the Lord let me know, you're not alone. And that night, that record has never been broken.
Wow.
And it will never be broken.
Powerful.
And when you were diagnosed at the age of... Did you say you was 8 years old when you was diagnosed with the degenerative spinal disease?
Actually, it was a little bit older than that.
Okay.
Because it kind of all gave its clue together about the legs and the spine. They kind of fit together. We know that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if your back's hurting you that day, more than likely you're not walking right. But come to find out, I didn't know that I was born with hardly any disc in my spine.
Wow.
And what disc I did have in my spine, every time I swung the bat, I'm knocking a piece of it off.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was a combination there that I found out at actually real age at 14 that they had told me no more baseball at 14 and 15. And, nope, I ain't doing that. I'm playing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I said, God will see me through.
And he did.
He did.
Yeah. You're listening to Alexander and Friends at the Purple Cow Radio Studio. We're located in Farmers Branch at 13612 Midway Road, number 601. Is our suite number in Farmers Branch. We'd love to see you come by at one of our shows. We do have a wonderful meeting place, so we'd love to have you come and enjoy. Watch us how we put our show together and meet our beautiful team. On my left, Elena Glassman, who's our co-host, and Marshall Johnson, who's our co-host. But I want to also tell you, they're authors. they have written their own books, and they have their own businesses, and they're an amazing, just an amazing staff, that a team that we go with. And Michael Clark, he's also a producer for 660 The Answer, which is where I come from, the radio station. So we're excited to have such a good team. And of course, we were very excited to have Mr. Ricky Hill,
yes,
the baseball player.
The professional,
the man, the hombre.
Absolutely.
So just going back to baseball, which was your favorite time of your life in your baseball? And I know what it is, but I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Favorite time of my life.
Favorite time. What was the favorite game you ever played that really you knew that you had gotten there?
Well,
that's a good question.
Probably the you saw it at the end of the movie, the very
yes.
end. That was probably the ultimate, because it's never happened in history. Mm. No one ever gets to hit for both teams.
That was the question.
Which is the craziest thing ever.
Yes.
Y'all didn't realize this, but I went up to the scout and I told him that I was the best hitter in the camp. And it's not in the movie. I told him I'm the best hitter in the camp. And there's 700 ball players there. Mm. And so he said to me, he said, "You think you're the best hitter in this camp?" And I said, "No, sir. I know I am."
Oh.
Now, I understand that's cocky, but you know what?
It's okay. I like that.
When you can back it up.
That's right.
It ain't cocky.
That's right.
It's not.
That's right.
I told him, "No, sir. I know I am."
Mm-hmm.
And he jiggled and jaggled and laughed because I didn't make the squad to finish to get that night. But he said, "I'll tell you what I do. Some reason I believe you might be right." Mm. I don't know why. And this man signed Nolan Ryan. Okay?
Ooh.
Only the best pitcher ever in baseball.
The best pitcher in baseball, yes.
Right. And this
Texas.
Man signed Nolan Ryan. And I said, well, I told myself I'll hit Nolan Ryan right now. Okay. But anyway, saying that, wound up, he said, "Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you," and which he's never done before. He said, tonight you're going to come back and you're going to designate a hit for both teams. That means I'm hitting for both teams.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
It's universal. It's not a deal that now you're going to hit twice as much as you normally would in a game. And the night that I went 11 for 11,
that's amazing.
Honestly, it was a creation of God blessing me. It was a spirit-filled moment.
Mm. Wow.
It was a deal when I stepped in home plate. I knew I was going to tear those pitchers' heads off.
That confidence.
Well, yeah. I wasn't alone.
He was not
confidence
alone.
In the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
In
I wasn't
the Lord. Alone. Confidence.
Yeah.
But that's what it takes.
Yeah, when you have the king up there swinging the bat with you.
Got to have it. Got to stand bold.
What do you expect?
That's right. You got to stand bold.
Absolutely.
You know, when you know, adversities or mm-hmm. even a challenge, I just love how that confidence that you agree with God because you heard him. So other people say that it can't be done every time. You said, no, God said, that's all I need. And you choose to agree with God, and he pulls through and comes through every single time.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
See, I wish that you guys could have seen the night.
Mm.
It's almost it's most amazing night. They had the radar guns out shooting at the pitchers. And you probably saw where I hit a line drive right at the scout's head.
Yes.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That ball went, that ball was coming at him. They hit it, the radar gun going out, it picked it up. Somehow they picked it up at 151 miles an hour.
Wow.
Woo.
Wow.
Now, if it's going to hit you, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, so you better catch it.
So yeah. Let me ask you a question. You were hit with a ball.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
So it kind of shocked me that you were able to get up. Was that the first time, or had them?
It's the first time that. People didn't understand. They didn't say it right in the movie. Red told him to throw it at me, mm-hmm. not to hit me, but to back me off the plate because he wanted to see what I was going to do. But he beamed me right in the rib cage.
Oh.
And I didn't go there to walk. It's just a tryout camp. I didn't go there to walk. I went there to hit. I took the blow. And
you did.
I got up, and then I tagged one 490 feet out of the park.
My goodness.
Well, you have
so much strength within, you know, not mm-hmm. out, but within.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes you so powerful, mm-hmm. because when you have the strength outside, well, I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have the strength within me right now, because I just went through a process. I'm going through a journey. But when you have it inside,
mm-hmm.
the outside, I don't care what it looks like or how you do it, right?
Right.
Doesn't mean anything. It's the inside. And last night I learned a big lesson that, you know, the outside really, you know, might be different, but it's the strength inside. So when you said to him, "I'm not going to walk, I'm going to hit."
That's right.
Yes.
I didn't come here to walk.
That was a very strong understanding of the strength within you,
mm-hmm.
not the outside, because you knew your legs were killing you.
Yep.
You were in pain.
Well, yeah, I just got out of surgery for, you know, 2.5-3 months earlier.
Yeah.
And you can't perform.
Mm. It's hard to perform when you've done that.
Right.
So can I ask you, and maybe this is a personal, but how do you feel now? How is your condition of your legs since you went through so many surgeries?
They're feeling great.
You look great.
Thank you. I feel great. I feel really.
I think all the ladies that are here say the same thing, that you look great.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell. Everybody wants you to sign
them. I didn't know I was on the cover of Esquire magazine the other day. All of a sudden, I looked up. Oh. I'm on the cover of Esquire.
Oh, okay.
That's the way it works.
Right. How in the world did that happen? I'm trying to figure that out. I don't even know what Esquire is.
The favor of God.
The favor of God.
I have no idea, but I know I'm on the cover of it.
When you're a light in the darkness.
So
you're in the spotlight.
Yes. So just roll back. Let's go back a little bit, because I've heard Bowie, Texas. So where did you actually grow up?
I grew up in Newark.
Huh?
Newark, Texas.
Oh, Newark. Texas.
Yeah, not Newark. Newark.
It's called
Newark. Yeah. Well, it's called.
That's
whatever,
our producer
whatever
speaking.
Whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Newark.
Okay.
Newark.
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 Yes. Okay. A Newark. That's very good. I like that. Newark. But to Boyd, to Bowie,
yeah,
Wichita Falls, to Waco, back to Fort Worth, Texas, where my father built his first church, built it. We started a church. We had 18 people our first Sunday in a little home. And my father wound up, this is why he's such a tremendous man.
Mm.
He had the faith, the same faith that he passed over to me,
mm-hmm.
That he could build a church. And he built two churches, and those two churches are still going strong today.
Wow.
And he pulled something off that's really stronger than what I pulled off. I give him the credit, because he never watched me play, right? He never saw me play.
That's what he told the church.
He fought every day for Christ to build the church.
Mm.
He's called to build the church.
That's good.
It's just a different form. I was called to build the church, just in a different way.
Well, you continue his legacy in building the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Yes,
still
I do.
Today.
That's right.
I do. I thank
That's
you.
Right.
Where are the church, the two churches at?
They're in Fort Worth. One's in Keller, Texas. And there's one is in Haltom City, Texas.
And what are the names?
It's Twin Oaks Baptist Church.
Twin Oaks Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You have such an amazing background, because you had the strength of God. And at the same time, your mother and your grandmother were your safety tents, we would say, that they were there for you all the time, but the strength was your father.
Absolutely.
Say that?
My father and I were very, very close. In fact, when I signed a major league contract, I called him every night. And even though he didn't see me play, you know, he got to see me play when he showed up.
When he showed up.
Yeah, when he showed up at the end.
Mm-hmm. He did that out of conviction. God gave him the conviction that he should leave the church. And by the way, every member in that church that was there left said, this is the best sermon you've ever preached.
Wow.
Wow. Because he preached it from his heart. And he asked for forgiveness for, asking for forgiveness is important to be able to continue what he was doing. But he knew that you had already found what you wanted to find. You already knew from the beginning.
That's right. And, he was already chosen.
Right. And he was not listening. And I think that was what the thing is. But coming back to your baseball career, what is it that you have enjoyed more than, besides playing the games, how about your lifestyle as a baseball player? I want to hear that. Because you don't seem like I see you more of a very wonderful gentleman that sits back and everything, you don't see rowdy and all that. So how much have you enjoyed the baseball?
Well, you know what made it into my life? A man by the name of Bill Brick was my manager in 1978. And in front of the MLB awards they were giving out that night, and they called me up because they said that I was the only person in baseball that he's never heard say a curse word. And the only ball player that never ran around with his wife. And he said, I can't tell you how valuable that means to me, because his representation to me as a manager taught me a lot. And that made me feel so good that I never did go out of those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in God's will
and
didn't break them.
I love that, how your faith is authentic, because
Absolutely.
We so need it today. People look at Christians, how you live your life. Do they want to know Christ or not? It's a huge responsibility. I want to pivot a little bit. We have a lot of ladies here. We love a good love story. And in the movie, in your life story, your girlfriend that
Grace.
Became mm-hmm. your wife. Mm-hmm. And can you share that about, I mean, I just love the little sweethearts,
yes.
and she just picked you from the start.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a wild story, really, to be honest with you.
We like wild stories.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. It was interesting when they called. I wanted her to come up to Canada when I first signed. And my dad said, that's not going to happen unless you're married. And next thing you know, Montreal, the Expos, are putting on this big, huge
wedding.
Show for the crowd, because it was a sold out crowd, first sold out crowd they had in forever. And she came up and we got married on home plate. I got married on home plate 10 minutes before we played the Cincinnati Reds.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And what year was that?
75.
Do you have any children?
Yeah, we have three daughters.
Awesome.
$3.
Now, in the movie, her name was Grace, and I asked you earlier, her name was changed. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, because the name Sharon didn't really fit the part too well, because it's just a common name.
Okay.
But the name Gracie is a real powerful name.
Mm. Okay.
And Grace.
Yes.
And I went along with it. And so did she.
Okay.
Totally. She just loved the name Gracie. And so it really, that's the only thing that's not authentic in the movie, is that.
How old were you when you met?
When I got married?
When you met as children.
They were young. I mean, was she like?
Seven, eight?
Yeah, she was outside playing with them.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the movie.
I was just hitting rocks all the time.
We know.
She was watching all the time. I hit rocks from 8 o'clock in the morning till 12 a.m. at night.
Every day.
How long have you been married?
We're not married anymore now. But we are like very best friends.
That's good.
Good. And, that's good. What it's supposed to be. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like very dear friends. The baseball life hurt her. It did. Because it's hard to be a baseball. Because you're gone constantly. And I was playing in Venezuela and Dominican Republic and
everywhere.
I'm playing the Mexican League too. I'm playing year round. I'm gone year round, which is Texas. It's really a rough for me playing year round. I mean, most guys play 6 months. No, I was playing 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So when you were watching the movie being filmed, and you looked at everything around, and you kept. How did you feel about the movie or your? Did they represent your parents like they were? It's just kind of hard to think of. Here I am watching this movie. Is this person really fitting my grandmother's way or my mother? How? From what I see from the movie, your mother was a very gentle woman.
She was tough.
But she was a tough woman.
Yeah, she was tough.
All right. Well, let me kind of. She was gentle.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't just tough.
Hmm.
I mean, she was very powerful.
Okay. We were almost there.
In fact, I don't know of a man she couldn't whip.
Hmm.
Whoa.
All right.
Well, what happened to your brother? Because he seemed like he loved you so very much. What happened with his life? Because his life kind of, you know, after you start playing baseball from the movie,
well,
you didn't see much of him anymore.
No, my brother was a ball player too, but I came up and I broke all his records. And so then he realized that my talent was so much more powerful than his. And I broke all his records. And then he realized that he would help me get there.
He was an amazing brother.
Yeah, amazing brother. Was. I won't say today what's going on about my brother. I want to leave that alone. It's not a conflict, but my brother is not living today.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it really is. And it wasn't by his own choice.
Oh,
so you can imagine what I'm speaking of, but... it's something that I'm going to kind of leave out of this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're listening to Alexander and Friends. We are today with a wonderful guest whose movie, if you have not seen it on Netflix, is number one, called The Hill. It is a true story, the incredible story based on a true story of this gentleman right here who is a baseball player, who with very difficult times in his life of being disability, a father that wasn't quite sure that he wanted him to play baseball, but he did it. So he has a lot of, in his journey, he had a lot of stops on that journey that he had to take care of. So we're very excited to have Mr. Ricky Hill here, that he took the time to come and spend the time with us and with you, our public, which we really appreciate your watching and listening. So Mr. Hill, if you were to do anything over again, what would you do? Different.
Different. Boy, I tell you what, you just hit me with another new one. Well, I wish that I had, of course, God had different plans for me because I'm just a vessel, right? I'm just a vessel that someone had to play this part. And and why he picked me, I don't know. Maybe because he knew I could take it. But I wish that I could have actually finished a career without, you know, being paralyzed like I was at second base when I dove in. And then I lost all my legs. I wish that what would have been like on the other side if I got to finish the career, you know what I'm talking about, the finish the career.
Yeah.
What would have happened? Because I was just going up the year before, I hit 51 home runs.
Oh, wow.
Which is Jim Rice. This was in Venezuela as well, playing the big leagues in Venezuela with Steve Garvey, and you recognize all these names. But I hit 51 home runs, And I just wondered, I've always wondered what would it have been like being healthy like these guys were. Where would I have stood in the very end in the sports world? Hmm. You know, what would have happened? And but then again, though, I can't take away this story because this story has blessed so many people that I've got so much further with this story that people have blessed. People has changed their life. People that's not in church are going back to church. Marriages that are split up have watched the movie together and got back together. And people that wasn't saved, they became born again and realized that, you know, the faith and there's faith in God and what God can do to change someone's life. So I have to put those two together up against each other. And I have to go with what, even saving one man's soul.
That's it right there.
Is more powerful than me going throughout my whole career. Even if I hit 70 home runs a year. One man's soul. Just that one man's soul. But this, through this film, it's changed. It's changed so many people's lives that I would have never predicted it. So therefore, I didn't know.
Amen.
So
amen.
I learned a lesson. You know what? This was his. He called me as the vessel, and I had to use that vessel to do his work.
God's will be done. You know, when you were speaking, it just reminded me of Moses, because he was to take God's people into the promised land. And he led those people out of Egypt, out of bondage, and he was to stop right there and died on the mountaintop. No regrets, because it's God's will be done, right? He gets all the glory. I mean, we just don't see things long term. God sees it from eternity to eternity. So it's a powerful story, and no regrets. You're still living your life to the fullest.
And I see it too as he, you know, he's given a message of removing fear.
Yes.
You know, we have a gift, but the fear can come in and take over. But this movie will let you know, it doesn't matter how hard you think it can be, but God is with you. Mm-hmm. Remove that fear and step out in faith.
That's right.
And that's what I learned about the movie more of anything, how he just believed in himself and he removed that fear. No fear.
And Ricky, God picked you because you never gave up on your dreams and the hope.
There you go,
and
you right
just
there.
You stuck with him like glue.
Yeah.
And I think other people might have given up, but that gift that you had, and with all the adversities
within,
you just persevered to the end till you saw it through.
You know, you're right. In the book of James,
yeah,
it talks about perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're right. You're absolutely right. I have no fear. I don't mind talking about it.
Yeah.
And so if anybody asks me about it, they might think I'm bragging, but I'm not bragging.
No.
I just don't have fear.
You have the fear of God.
The fear of God.
You have no fear.
When I used to play baseball, when I played ball, I did have a tendency to charge the pitcher's mound. And they threw a ball at my head. I'm going at the mound and I'm going to hit them. And, because if you didn't back during my days when we played, you get fined.
Mm.
See, people don't realize that. You get fined.
Really?
Well, I couldn't afford $1,000 fine that I was going to get. I couldn't afford it. So I just charged pitcher around and just beat the snot out of him. So, but that's just a little additional story. But saying that, as I don't have the fear, and I was born with no fear. And like I said, I'm just the vessel to give the story to, and the story's not finished yet until I go home to be with Jesus.
That's right.
And I personally don't feel like I'll be going home to, I believe Christ is coming before I go.
Wow.
And I believe that's happening
as
soon as I'm reading in the Bible and studying what's happening in Israel and all the things that's happening to the Jews in Israel and all the things that's taking place.
Pay for Israel.
It's coming, and it's right around the corner. And I suggest that each person that I'm speaking to in front of today, to let them know that they better get ready, because time's at hand. It's short. It's around the corner. And if you want to take things serious, you better get your heart right with Jesus, and get your heart right with God. What he represented, because he represented the very ultimate, and he gave us that sacrifice and the love. He gave me the talent to be a ball player and a messenger at the same time.
Wow. What today has been just magnificent. I cannot say that I didn't expect this, because I've only been to one baseball game in my lifetime.
Shame on you.
Well, I know. I was waiting for you to come along.
It'll change. It'll change.
Great. See there? That's why I love you so much, because you get the right answer every time.
But, you know, sitting here next to you, I realized that it's not all about baseball, but it was about your belief in what you could do.
Absolutely.
And how you could get there. So how long have you been retired now from baseball?
I collapsed in 1981.
81.
Which was my sixth year. Collapsed in 81. Mm-hmm. And since then, I'm a financial planner. And I was going to college after that to become one, on a cane, believe it or not, on a cane after I had my first surgery on my spine. And that was just a patch job, because they couldn't fix this mess. And then later on, I had another surgery, and it still couldn't be fixed. Then finally, God sent me the most blessing from heaven ever. Because when you can't walk right and move correctly, he sent me a man from Germany to do this German surgery that I'm full of a 14-inch rod in my spine, nine screws, three-inch screws, and seven cages holding my whole spine together. And it's amazing. You can feel them. You can feel them in my back right now. Mm. But it's amazing that he gave me this surgery that healed my spine.
Wow.
Isn't that a miracle?
That is a miracle.
You're a walking miracle.
You're a walking miracle.
You always I really am.
Yeah. I'm a walking miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that surgeon at my premiere for the movie.
Wow.
And
awesome.
I introduced him as a man that gave me life again through Christ.
Your angel.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Your angel.
That's right.
So good.
Wow. Well, what do we have to say? What is there to say? We have a great man that has a story that can only be told by him.
Yes.
Because the movie was very impressive.
Yes.
But when you really get to know him and meet him and really realize that it was really God working through him. And really his grandmother, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was my favorite lady.
Yeah. Everybody loved her.
She was like my grandmother. You better, you know.
Yeah, she's a hoot.
She was a hoot, yes. Well, as we're coming to the end of the day for our podcast, if somebody wants to get a hold, call you and say, Mr. Hill, we'd like for you to come and join us and do a show with us, or talk about us, or maybe have an event where you can be a speaker about the ministry of not necessarily about the baseball, but the ministry. How could they get hold of you?
They can go through my producer. If they were calling me, I'd be on the phone all day long.
You talked to me.
Boy, I did talk to you. What did we talk, 5 hours?
Yeah.
That was just a joke. But
I called you and you answered the phone.
I did answer your call. But saying that, it's under thehillmove.com.
TheHillMove.com, okay.
TheHillMove, MOV.com. TheHillMove.com.
Okay.
And they can reach us through there.
Okay.
And then so I expect everybody in this room to spread the word about it.
That's right.
That's my expectations, because
he'll move that comp.
Hey, we can't do this unless we spread the word about it.
That will be posted on our Facebook and our website, alexandraandfriends.com and www.facebook.
And they can get through you.
They can get through us and right through me. They can call me, and they can call Marshall, and they can call Elena, and they can call our team. That's very important. And you're welcome to come here anytime. I have they call a little revival also.
Do you have a room here for me?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Not only here, anywhere. We really appreciate it. We thank you so very much for being here today with our guest, Mr. Ricky Hill from the Hill movie. Please watch that movie on Netflix. It is amazing. It'll take you to another level of your thoughts of what you see when you see somebody with a disability. You cannot just turn away.
Yes.
Elena, what are your last questions for, last close out for Mr. Hill?
Well, I'm just excited about you being here, Ricky, and this is only the beginning. And I can see God's going
to
open doors to many other possibilities that you will only just be amazed, because he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask, imagine.
Yes.
So I'm just excited about what else is going to come, and we want a follow-up show. When something happens, it's coming. And you give us your word, we will be the first to have you back.
We need you to come back.
I'll come here anytime you want.
All right.
Well, Marshall, what do you think?
I feel the same. It's what a pleasure meeting you.
Well,
I tell you.
You too. I mean, it's a blessing for me.
Yes, you inspired me a whole lot in a lot of ways. A reference of being chosen. And thank you for going out here and changing lives and touching our children's life as well, and touching people to let them know you can be who you want to be, and you can have what you want to have. All you have to do is continue to keep your faith in God and keep your mind stayed on Him. So thank you for coming, Ricky.
Well, thank you. I just want to say this last thing before we get off. Is that, believe it or not, the person that this movie has helped the most is me. Okay? God has lifted me up more through this film than ever happened. And now I'm on fire for Jesus. I'm talking on fire.
Amen.
And if you don't like it, then get out of my life. Okay.
Amen.
That's the way you're supposed to be.
That's what it is. You don't like what I have to say about Jesus? Don't hang around me.
That's right. Because we can't be ashamed.
That's right.
Can't be ashamed.
No, I'm not ashamed.
That's right.
I'm very, very thrilled.
Well, we also want to make sure that we have elections right now.
That's right. Elections going on as our municipal, and some of the cities are having joint elections for the county, and several cities have propositions. So you want to make sure that you're engaged, because the last day of early voting is Tuesday, and then election day is a week from now, May the 4th. People need to understand these local elections directly affect our lives. Local elected officials, your school board, your city council, your mayors, their decisions, the policies directly affect our lives. So make sure you go research, talk to your friends. If you don't know Alexandra and Friends, and go on Facebook, and we'll help connect you to look at candidates that you need to get behind and support that will represent you with your values.
Thank you so much, Elena.
Thank you, Elena.
I'm glad you said the election like that. Thank you.
Yes.
That's good, because I'm totally pro-life, and I am.
So am I.
That's my job, is to let everybody know that that's where I believe, and that's where I stand. I'm not telling you exactly where to vote, but you know where to vote if it's pro-life.
Exactly. Well, thank you so very much for this wonderful show today, Ricky Glenn Hill.
You can say it like my mom said, Ricky Glenn.
Ricky Glenn.
Ricky Glenn. I love that.
Thank you
so much for taking your time from a very busy schedule to be here with us. This is very important to me, because when Doug told me about who you were, and I said, well, who is he? He played baseball. I said, well, why would I want to have a baseball player in our show? He says, Well, did you know who he is? And he was driving you to the airport.
He was?
He was. Doug, when he called, and I said, I called Michael, and I said, you won't believe this. I've got this phone number. Who is he? He says, oh, the hill. Haven't you seen the movie? He's the greatest baseball player in the world. I said, yes. Oh, my gosh. So I am calling and calling and calling. I called Doug and said, he's not answering the phone. And he did answer the phone. So I am so excited. God works in mysterious ways. So yes, here you are sitting with us. Thank you again for taking your time to be here. And thank you for, most of all, giving us a reason to think about what we're doing in our life every day.
That's right.
Because sometimes we get a little scared. Trust me, I've been through this in the last few weeks. I'm a widow, and I kept thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I just went through this. I'm fighting a war, and the war sometimes gets a little bit tough.
Yeah.
But you know what? You gave me an inspiration. Mm. And last night, you really toughened me up a little bit more.
Mm. I'm glad. I'm so thankful.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for being here. Elena, anything that you have to close us out for the week?
Well, it's the election. It's Passover. And so it is a season that we are reminded of God's faithfulness, of his deliverance and provision. And so we thank God every day for life.
Mr. Hill, the last word for you?
Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me spread the word as well. Okay, because that's my job, right? I'm no better than anyone else. If you'll notice, I do not act it. I'm not. I'm just me, and I'm very thankful that God gave me the opportunity to share more about Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much. Michael Clark, thank you so much for your
great
production.
Michael. Best producer in the world.
Miss Marshall, will you take us out with a wonderful prayer, and thank you again for you being
yes.
here.
Oh, well, thank you too, Ms.
And anything that you want to close us out with?
Well, you know, I want Ricky to sing a little bit, and I'm going to follow.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
A little duet
we haven't
here.
Practiced. This just yes. touched my heart, and I just feel if he just starts singing a little bit, and we can just close out with a little bit of a song, and thank you again to the listeners, and we'll see you soon. All right, Ricky, start with something, and I follow you. Start with a song, and I follow you.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Take thy cross and follow me.
Follow me. Father God, how we thank you for this day. How we thank you for all the wonderful people who are listening in today to hear this wonderful life story, true story, inspiring story of Ricky G. Hill. Thank you to him, Father, for his family. Thank you for him. Thank you for him to continue to pass the word about you to him, Father, how he could keep his faith, how he keeps his word only on you. To him, Father, bless the ones who are here today and their families, and thank you for protecting us and keeping us, and let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You've listened to Alexander and Friends. We will see you in our next show. Thank you so very much, and have a wonderful, blessed Passover and happy, happy week. Bye-bye.